Yes, we are, and it's Warbirds Wednesday on the fly. We're down here on the north side of AirVenture 2015, visiting Warbirds, and specifically, we're in the reenactment village called Miller Field, a very cool place just north of Fighter Town here on a really nice day. A little rain shower here and there, but for the most part, the sun's out now, and
beautiful
it's
day.
It's going to be a nice day to come down and visit Miller Field and Warbirds today.
Yes, it is.
Wednesday means Warbirds. So now we have Jackie Detloff with us. And Jackie, where are you from?
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Ah, so you're a native.
I am.
You're close by. USO Camp Shows is what you gals represent, and specifically you're USO Wisconsin. Tell us, and our listeners, what is the USO?
The USO stands for United Service Organization, and it's a support organization for our active military and their immediate family. Uh-huh. So we also help out with an active military includes all of the branches of the services, the National Guard and the Reserves.
And what typically was the mission of the USO during wartime?
The USO's mission during the wartime and the stateside operations was to offer a little bit of home, like a little home away from home, and to provide for the morale of the service members and the war workers.
And how did you do that specifically?
Stateside, the biggest thing that the USO did were clubs. So they would have service clubs, and in those service clubs they would provide numerous different activities that people would want to do. Letter writing, reading books, answering questions because they're new to the area. They would also have outings or dances. Dances were probably the most popular.
Uh-huh. And I know people might occasionally see a sign in an airport even today that says USO. Are they doing the same thing?
Exactly the same thing. So in the 1940s, most people traveled by bus or by train, and so they would have mobile services in bus stations and train depots. Well, today everybody flies, or most people fly, and so we have airport centers at various airports around the nation and internationally, uh-huh, offering the same thing, a place where you can go, get something to eat, have a place to stay, maybe catch some free Wi-Fi, not have to worry about your things and whatnot.
Now, Miller Field here is representing a typical field air base during World War II. Was the USO part of that as well?
It was, but in a little bit different way than it is today. So in the 1940s, the entertainment aspect of the USO, which was known as USO Camp Shows Incorporated, was a separate organization from the USO. Today, National USO provides most of that entertainment that our armed forces use overseas. So in the 1940s, the USO camp shows did that. And so they started in November of 1941.
Yeah, everyone thinks of Bob Hope.
Right.
You know, he took the show overseas.
Jay
brought
Leno.
Some Hollywood stars with him, some comedians, some dancers. And they'd put on a big to-do for the troops.
I think Jay Leno did it too, didn't he?
And he did.
He did, yep.
Yeah, so, someone else comes to mind that used to do a lot of those shows. There's some famous individuals that have done that. He passed away recently. I'm thinking of Robin Williams, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He was big on the circuit overseas.
And that was a theme for the USO Camp Shows Incorporated from the very beginning, was that they became the world's largest booking agency for entertainment in 1942. And they booked not only the main big stars, but they also gave a lot of opportunity for budding entertainers. Everyone was a professional. Either they were on the vaudeville act or the vaudeville circuit, and they would actually audition for the opportunity to be part of Camp Shows Incorporated. And so they would audition, and if their act was selected, they had to maintain that same act. They were not allowed to deviate from their script for the entire time that they were on tour. The average foxhole tour size was about 5 performers, and they would be hired for anywhere between a 3-week tour to a 6-month tour. And so the big names were usually the 3-week tour, and everyone else pretty much signed up for 6 months. And it was very common, it was the norm, to actually re-sign up every 6 months. So a lot of performers started and then were just in it for the duration of the war.
Oh, wow. So that was their job.
That was their career. Job. Yep. And they were paid performers, and they were paid close to union rates, but not quite as high. So they did do it as a pay cut, but they did it because it was their way of serving.
They had free food and lodging, so right at the front line.
Yeah, and on a side note, even Ronald Reagan, he didn't serve, but he was in the military. And if you watch on YouTube, a lot of the old movies and training films and documentaries that were going on, propaganda films at the time, that's Ronald Reagan narrating those films. That was his job during the war.
Hmm. Interesting. So you've got some notes here.
I do have notes.
What would you like to tell us about the USO here in Miller Field in the encampment, your reenactors?
Well, as living historians, what we're trying to portray is what a typical USO camp show unit might have looked like and what their day-to-day life would have been like. So we have various different performers, and we put a little twist on it. So in the 1940s, the USO performers, as I said, they auditioned, they were professionals, they had their acts, and they were a way that the military could match up what was needed with what the camp shows could offer. So Army bases would call camp shows, and they would say, this is what we want. We want three dancers and two singers, or we need an accordion player because we want this thing to happen. And the USO camp shows would create the unit and then send them out. And so what our take on it is, rather than us providing all the entertainment for the other living historians here at Miller Field, is that we twist it and we have the other performers, living historians of Miller Field, put on the performance. So we produce the show, but the entertainment is all local and provided by all the different individuals that are here.
They tell us we have to take part. There's no choice.
They're
strongly encouraged.
That's like when my friends take me out to karaoke. It's not pretty by any means, but I give it a valiant effort, and I'm sure that people just have a good time with it.
We have a lot of fun, and actually we have a show coming up.
Oh, really?
Every Thursday.
Yeah, so tell us. And everybody's invited to come and have fun and hang out. And
what
watch
time
the
is
show.
It?
8 o'clock-ish.
In the evening,
In the evening. And it'll be right here in the parade grounds, weather permitted.
Now, we say parade grounds, and that means
that'd
the parade grounds right here in Miller
Field. Near the flagpole. Yeah. Look for the 48-star flag.
So I noticed yesterday when I was down here, you guys were whipping up a meal. What typically did they cook for the soldiers in those days?
In the 1940s, the USO camp shows would not have done any cooking for the unit. That's what the cooks are for, and the actual people that are enlisted, that's their job that they have to do. As a courtesy, we, as a group of individuals, what we do some extra things around to help out and to just be part of the community that is Miller Field. So
of course, in the regular USO, stateside, they do have people whipping up meals for travelers and such in the USO.
Oh, definitely. The snack bar is by all means one of the most popular aspects of the USO since the 1940s. So cookies and baked goods and little things to go, juice, whatever is donated, whatever we can scrounge up and find and provide. That's what we try to do.
So. Do you have an active recruiting program? Do you recruit members to your group here in Wisconsin?
Well, the USO Wisconsin is always looking for volunteers. Currently, the USO Wisconsin has a service center at Mitchell Field International Airport in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. They're opening up an airport center in La Crosse within the year. And there's also a family center at the military processing base in the greater Milwaukee area. And we have recently opened, or the USO Wisconsin has recently opened, a USO center at Fort McCoy. And so they're definitely looking for volunteers up in the Fort McCoy area to help out with the different centers on base.
Uh-huh. I should say, if anyone's interested in this, they can come to our camp, talk to the girls, and they have some brochures they can give them with all the information.
Yep, your brochure right here, it says, helping military and their families throughout Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and the world, actually.
Yes. And one thing that most people don't know about the USO is that it is 100% privately funded. It does not receive any money from the U.S. government or the Department of Defense, but it is completely run through in-kind donations or monetary donations from individuals and from corporations.
Huh, interesting. So what types of things, what would a typical gal working on the USO tour, what would their day be like?
Well, their day would start with being thankful that the military offered them a tent to sleep in and a cot to sleep on. They did bring all their own bedding and luggage and things like that. They were allowed 55 pounds of luggage for their 6-month tour. That includes what you put your luggage in.
That's not and much. But so, of course, that's what you're allowed to carry on an airline now, 50 pounds.
That might be close, where they got the idea from. I don't know. but it would start with getting ready in the morning, and it takes a little bit of effort to pin, curl, and set your hair the day before, and then you have to sleep on it and then set it. Once it's dry, you have to style it the next day. As far as dress and things like that, it really depended on what theater of operations the individual was performing in and the base commander, if they were allowed to wear civilian clothing in base or if they were required to wear the women's non-combat military uniform.
Huh,
so then you would get ready. You would have to practice. You are a professional performer, so you are going to make sure that you know what your routine is, if it's a song, a dance, a comedic act, or whatnot, or play. And then every night you would have a performance, if not several performances throughout the day. So if it's a larger base like this, this might be your home base where you're staying here on a nightly basis, but every day you're getting trucked out to different forward operating centers and putting on a performance and then going to another area and putting on a performance and another area and putting on a performance. There's recordings where a lot of performers would say, within one day we did our act 6 or 7 times and I think we ate twice.
Wow.
So it was a very busy schedule.
It sounds like it was, but it also sounds like this is something that kept the soldiers somewhat grounded, you know, because
it reminds them of what they're fighting for.
Yeah,
very much so. It was a way to alleviate some of the stress and boredom that is associated with combat.
Right. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing this information with us. I'm sure our listeners feel a little bit more educated now about the USO and what they do.
Well, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
You bet. Thank you.
And please come on out to the north end here and visit us at Miller Field.
That's what I was going to say, Kevin. People need to take the tram. It's very easy to get down here to Warbirds, or I should say up here. We're on the north end.
Some great planes down on this end.
Great planes where, you know, fighter town, and then wander through and do a tour here. And you guys you do this all day long, just as if it was a typical day.
Colors go up at 8 a.m. It's a full military color ceremony. We take the colors down every day at 4:30. Come on down, witness that as well.
Great, great. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for co-hosting with me today on the fly.
Thanks for being here.
It's a very, very nice area you have here, and I encourage everybody to come down and check it out.
We appreciate you being here. Thanks much.
Jay Munchie on the fly, Warbirds Wednesday, and tomorrow we're going to head up to Gateway Plaza and the Innovation Center, all new here at Oshkosh for 2015. We're going to sign off. We'll be back tomorrow. Jay Munchie, you're listening to On the Fly on EAA Radio.